welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. And of course, I'm here with Brian Sant, tech guru and producer of The Deadline. Wonder Woman! What is this? What are you having, a Linda Carter? Oh, you're still waiting for that brunette to show up from last week, huh?
Really?
So much for the secret. Setting my intention, my butt.
Pretty much.
Aw, so no brunette showed up, huh,
nope.
Roy?
Nope.
Aw, man, I'm sorry.
Oh, well.
Yeah, what if a blonde shows? Or, you know what, it was probably a blonde that showed up and you blew her off thinking you were waiting for the brunette, right?
Yep.
Ah! You know, it's all, well, anyway. Changing subjects. On March 11th in Washington, a gold watch owned by Abraham Lincoln bears a message marking the start of the U.S. Civil War. But the president never knew of the secret inscription uncovered on Tuesday at the National Museum of American History. Did you hear about this?
Yes, I did.
You did? Okay.
I read about it. Yahoo.
Yahoo, exactly. Yes, thank God for Yahoo. The engraving by watchmaker Jonathan Dillon is dated April 13, 1861, and reads in part, "Fort Sumter was attacked by the rebels," and "Thank God we have a government." I don't know how the hell he fit on. This watch must have been the size of, like, Big Ben to be lugging around your pocket.
Nope.
If he could fit all that in.
Little pocket watch.
Yeah, how the hell could you even read something? Like, no wonder the president didn't see it.
Well,
I mean, first of all, he's 6'4". He's holding the watch about 8 feet away from his face.
Well, no.
It's got tiny little writing.
It was inside the watch.
Yeah. Oh, right. You'd have to take the whole watch apart to find it, right? Which was stupid. Why did he even bother?
It's called a secret message.
Yeah, pretty gosh darn tootin' good secret. It took 100 and some odd years to figure it out.
There you go.
Anyway, the museum said it agreed to open the watch to find out if the message really was there after it was contacted. The museum was contacted by the watchmaker's great-great-grandson, Doug Stiles of Waukegan, Illinois. The American Civil War began when Confederate troops opened fire on Fort Sumter in Charleston, South Carolina, on April 12, 1861. 45 years later, Dillon, the watchmaker, told the New York Times that he was repairing Lincoln's watch when he heard that the first shots of the Civil War had been fired. Dillon said he unscrewed the dial of the watch and used a sharp instrument to mark the historic day on the president's watch. He told the newspaper that, as far as he knew, no one had ever seen the inscription. Lincoln never knew of the message he carried in his pocket, Brent Glass, director of the National Museum of American History, said in a statement. It's a personal side of history about an ordinary watchman being inspired to record something for posterity. Lincoln was elected the 16th President of the United States in November 1860. In the lead up to the Civil War, South Carolina and six other states seceded from the Union before Lincoln's inauguration in March 1861. Oh, they used to do inaugurations in March? Now we do them in January?
Yeah.
Wonder when that changed.
The reason it was so late because primaries and stuff, they had to get the ballots. Some people had to go where it was done, and they had to actually manually count. So it took longer to do the counting, so it was March when it started to take sooner.
Well, aren't you a plethora of information?
Yes, I remember.
Oh, my God.
Somebody, I actually remember reading a story about that.
Wow. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, plus you didn't really have, like, internet or email or faxing, so everything had to be Pony Express.
Yep.
Interesting. Wow. Lincoln was a pretty cool dude, you know.
He's a tall dude.
Yeah.
Tall dead dude.
Tall dead dude. Yeah. So, well, anyway, I thought that was pretty fascinating because, you know, you ever see that movie National Treasure? Because that's what this reminded me of. I'm like, oh, my God, it's like National Treasure come to life, you know. This is so wild, you know. Now I wonder if there really is that book, you know. Yeah, the Book of Secrets, National Treasure. Did you see that?
Probably.
Yeah, with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Each president leaves them, you know, all...
Some stuff in this book, and they have it in a secret thing.
I believe it.
Really?
Yeah, I believe something like that, yeah.
Oh, wow. That'd be pretty cool.
I mean, do I believe it's, like, in a hidden thing in the Library of Congress? No, it's probably in a safe somewhere in the White House, and each president passed the combination along to the next one, something like that.
That's interesting. It's very cool stuff. So, moving along, let's cover our meeting announcements here. April Fool's Day, and it's no joke, for real, April 1st, 2009, Central Jersey Division has its meeting, its monthly meeting in the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt, New Jersey, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Team leaders Gregory and Sherry Irish will be on hand. The North Jersey Division has its meeting on April 21st, 2009, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the Blue Room of the Community Center located at 293 Main Street in Hackettstown. This month's meeting topic, Weird Creatures and Monsters. Team leader Dina Chirico will be on hand to discuss this fascinating topic. All meetings, North Jersey and Central Jersey, are free and open to the public to attend. And if you have any questionable photographs or recordings, we always have a Share and Scare segment, so feel free to bring along those items to be analyzed during the Share and Scare segment. Pretty cool, right, Brian?
Of course.
Okay. We will be right back after this commercial break.
I say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed. What a shame we don't have any of those traits.
Oh yeah, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostanddemon.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
www.ghostanddemon.com. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast.
Now's your chance to take what should be your last ride and get out alive. Morbid Mobile Tours lets you climb in through the suicide door or end loader and head out to the infamous Shades of Death Road in Warren County. While you're seated in the very space where dead bodies took the ride to their final resting place, you'll hear the grim tales of ghosts, murder, and disease. Jezebel is a beautiful 1983 Cadillac hearse who served her time in funeral processions and now is dying to take you with her on this haunted trail. Tours are $25 per victim and depart from the Hackettstown train station. To book your tour, visit Morbid Mobile Tours page by clicking the license plate on the homepage of the njghs.net website. Morbid Mobile Tours, we're waiting to take you away.
Hi, this is Stephen LeChance, author of The Uninvited, and you're listening to the Deadline Podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Parashare. Do you have a paranormal experience or ghost encounter to tell? Then send it in an email to thedeadline@njghs.net. For each Parashare you submit and we read on the show, you'll receive one credit. You may use your credits to receive membership in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, only one credit necessary. Or you may save up 10 credits, that's submitting 10 Parashares, and get a natal chart, $75 value. We'll keep track of the Parashares, let you know when you've hit 10, and you can send me your birth date, birth time, and birthplace, and I will send you a full-color natal chart with printout and my handwritten notes, too. Now it's time for News of the Weird. University of California researchers on a Pentagon contract announced in January success at rigging a live flower beetle with electrodes and a radio receiver to enable scientists to control the insect's flight remotely. Pulses sent to the bug's muscles, or optic lobes can command it to take off, turn left or right, or hover. According to a report in MIT Technology Review and the insect's large size, up to a whopping 4 inches in length, would enable it to also carry a camera, giving the beetle military uses such as surveillance or search and rescue. The researchers admired the native flight control ability of the beetles so much that they abandoned developing robot beetles, which required trying to mimic nature. A coin-operated self-service dog washing machine, self meaning the dog owner, not the dog, has been introduced in a half dozen car washes in the United States recently at $10 for 10 minutes, according to a January report on one such franchise in Stuart, Florida. The K9000 is a 3-foot-high walk-in shower area, or push-in for reluctant dogs, with an open top. It has 6 separate wash cycles, conditioner, flea and tick options, and adjustable water pressure and dryer settings. Now, weird biology. Reproduction is no fun if you're a squid, said a biologist at the University of Groningen in the Netherlands, referring especially to the deep-sea squid. Finding a mate a mile down in pitch darkness is hard enough, but the combination of the fact that males are much smaller and fearful of being overpowered, and females whose reception of sperm involves being stabbed, makes the insemination process especially traumatic. Sperm deposits can be extensive and burdensome to the female and are delivered by the reckless slashing of the skin by the male. In fact, according to a December report in Germany's Der Spiegel, in the darkness, the male sometimes misses the female altogether and inseminates himself.
Nice.
Yeah. In Hong Kong, according to a February Wall Street Journal report, when a feng shui master speaks on the economy, investors listen closely, especially in view of the mess quantitative analysis has made of things. Alian Yeo, an expert on the Chinese system of beliefs in the stars, geography, and the location of objects, and whose popular finance seminars attract high-end investors, told a group of about 170 recently that 2009 would be dismal because the U.S. economy is now in the hands of a president and a secretary of the treasury who were both born in the year of the ox, 1961, of which 2009 is another, and which has already started frighteningly with both a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse.
Ooh. Scary.
I'm telling you. Australia's Queensland Rail Agency disclosed in January that it would quickly offer refunds to passengers on a Cairns to Brisbane train that crashed just outside Cairns, but reiterated at the same time that it would not pay refunds to survivors of a November 2008 Brisbane to Cairns train crash that killed 2 and injured 9. The difference, according to a Queensland Rail general manager, was that the 2009 trip was just getting underway from Cairns when it crashed. But the 2008 trip, also near Cairns, was 95% over by the time the deadly crash occurred. And thus, the survivors had basically reached their destination. Well, if there were ever a loophole big enough to drive a semi through, I think he's really pushing for it there. All right. The $500,000 top prize in Alaska's January statewide lottery to benefit the organization Standing Together Against Rape, which is STAR. I just got that. Isn't that nice if you do the acronym STAR? For victims of sexual assault, was won by Alec Asok. I'm sorry, Asok. Alec Asok, 53 years old, who coincidentally is a twice convicted sex offender. Way to go, Alaska! But then again, what's her face is up there, right,
Sarah?
Yeah. Did you see
her daughter? Yep.
Got divorced or is in the process of getting,
or
broke off the engagement.
Yeah.
Every time I see the picture of her, I guess who was the father of the baby, the fiancé, now ex-fiancé, I always think, ooh, it's a picture of the guy from, it looks like the guy when he, right from that movie, That Thing You Do, the guy that played the drummer in That Thing You Do.
Oh, okay.
You know? And I always think, ooh, it's that guy from That Thing You Do, and I'm like, then I read closely, I'm like, oh, it's Sarah Palin's daughter's fiancé, you know. But he kind of looks like him. What's his name? Levi. Levi's name. I forget his last name. His name is Levi. Anyway, so yeah, so little baby Palin and baby Palin are going to remain Palins, not taking on another last name there. Oh, well. Sweden's Hallands Nyheter Nyheter? Nyheter? How do you pronounce that? You were over in Holland. Close enough to Sweden, right? What are those kind of countries? All right, Sweden's Hallands Nyheter. I have no idea how to pronounce it. Newspaper reported in January that a police officer had endured four operations at a private clinic in Gothenburg to correct a birth condition that made one leg shorter than the other. But operations on the longer leg cut off too much, so now it is shorter than the leg that used to be the shorter one. And we were discussing this in our med law class about, like, when you go in for surgery, especially anybody who's going to have something amputated, take your own Sharpie, a permanent marker, and make sure you write not only on the limb that's to be amputated, like cut this one, on the other arm or leg, make sure you put not this one, you know, because...
See other arm.
See other arm, yes, something, because it's really, the statistics are staggering as to how many of these operations are conducted in error, and the wrong, healthy limbs are removed. So, can't stress that enough, people, be careful. My whole thing is, you know what, I came in with these parts, I'm going out with these parts. Thank you very much. Police in Holland Township, New Jersey, removed three kids from the home of Heath and Deborah Campbell in January at the behest of the State Division of Youth and Family Services, which we call here the acronym DYFUS. The kids are three-year-old Adolf Hitler Campbell and his one-year-old sisters, Hanselin Hindler, Jeannie Campbell, and Joycelyn Aryan Nation Campbell. The family was also in the news in December when their local ShopRite supermarket bakery refused to make a birthday cake with little Adolf's name on it. Go figure. Anyway, we'll be right back after this commercial break.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
Hi, I'm Mark Skirman.
And I'm Mark Moran.
We travel on the roads more weird with our show Weird US.
And you're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
The vault is open. You're listening to The Haunted Headlines, your source for the stories making waves in the paranormal news. Sponsored by GhostVillage.com at www.ghostvillage.com/news.
Good evening and welcome to the Haunted Headlines, Ghost Village's weekly journey around the paranormal newswire to bring you the biggest stories affecting the ghost community. I'm Chris Balzano. Ghosts just can't let a person make a buck. It was a case of deja vu this week as two different stories came out of the paranormal interfering with people trying to make a living. The first report came out of Jordan, where workers in Amman are refusing to go back to the job until the evil spirits are exorcised from the factory they work in. Head of the Textile Industry Workers Union, Fahalat Amrani, claims, quote, a total of 367 workers belonging to the Sri Lankan and Indian nationals have been on strike at the industrial zone in Jahab, 20 kilometers east of Amman, alleging that their plants are dwelt by devils, unquote. The interesting thing is not just that the workers claim these spirits are getting in the way. What may be more interesting is the company caved in and brought in Muslim preachers to read passages from the Quran, encouraging more than half to return to work. The rest are trying to find other jobs or moving back to their home countries. Those crazy countries and their superstitions, you think? Maybe not. According to the Birmingham Mail this week, work has stopped at Midland Historic Castle near Birmingham, England for the same reason. People hired to complete a tourist attraction for paranormal enthusiasts, including a torture chamber in the basement filled with ghost actors, also downed their tools when things became a bit too eerie. People on site saw a strange apparition, were constantly losing their tools, and smelled out-of-character odors like lavender. The castle has a haunted reputation, part of the reason the tourist attraction is planned in the first place, but now the project is going to struggle to be completed before its planned Easter target opening. Rest assured, when it does open, it already has started to build some press for itself. In Ocala, Florida, the real estate market may be having an impact on the paranormal world. The Seven Sisters Inn, one of the haunted landmarks of Central Florida, is facing foreclosure if not sold by April 7th. The bed and breakfast is made up of two restored century-old homes selling for $1.3 million, and they will become the property of First Coast Community Bank and sold at auction if a reasonable price is not offered. Enter Southeastern Paranormal Investigations, or SEPI. They, along with investigator George Mersando, have started an online campaign to save the house, which is registered at the National Registry of Historic Places. SEPI's reputation can be found at www.petitiononline.com/7pet/petition.html, and more information on Mersando's project can be found at www.savethesevensistersinn.com. Of course, both of these can be seen at the Ghost Village News section at www.ghostvillage.com/news. Those are our stories for this week. If you want to find out more about these stories or others, please make sure to visit the Ghost Village News section at www.ghostvillage.com/news and wait until next week until we can bring you more of the biggest stories affecting the paranormal community. I'm Chris Balzano, and that's what's haunting me.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Paranormal Pictionary. Each week, a picture of paranormal relevance will appear on the deadline page of the NJGHS.net website. Actually, a portion of the picture will appear beginning the day the show uploads, usually on Friday. Each day, following the initial upload of the show, another portion of the picture will appear. And by Tuesday, if no one has identified the entire picture will be posted. Obviously, if someone figures it out before the entire picture is revealed, the announcement will be made on the deadline page and the entire picture will appear. The first person to email the deadline at njghs.net with the correct identification of the picture will win an NJGHS t-shirt and membership in the NJGHS. If you're already a member, you can pass along your winning membership to a family member or a friend. But you know what? Keep a t-shirt for yourself. As always, NJGHS team leaders are not allowed to participate in this contest, and winners who must not have won in the past 30 days via the NJGHS site or the deadline, okay? Last week's picture was the Borley Rectory. Check out njghs.net/thedeadline.html to see this week's Paranormal Pictionary. Good luck. And now, here's your weekly update on the paranormal news with Chris Balzano of GhostVillage.com. How are you, Brian?
All right.
How is everybody out there? Is everybody having fun? Are we having fun yet? Well, it's getting down towards the end of the show here, so I'm not going to beat around the bush. I have to remind people April 1st is coming up, okay? The day the show uploads is March 27th, so April 1st is right around the corner. Please go to podcastalley.com and vote for the deadline. There is a little link that says podcastalley.com. It's right on the homepage of njghs.net. It also, if you scroll down on the deadline page of our site, there's the same link. So it's pretty easy. You click on it. It'll open up the deadline page on Podcast Alley. You'll see where it says vote. You click on that. You put in your email address. It won't show up. You don't have to worry about that, about anybody getting your email address. What they do is they take that, and then they will email you to click on the link to confirm your vote. Okay? So that way they know they're getting true votes, because it's basically one vote per ISP. So you can, I can't just go in and keep pounding in votes for my show.
Because you would.
Yeah, I would. So, and so would Brian. We'd both be there, you know, but we can't. You know, once I've voted once from home, it recognizes it. Now, if I go, obviously, to a Wi-Fi place like Starbucks, well, I would never go to Starbucks, but you know what I mean, like another, like, Quick Check now. The Quick Check here in town is Wi-Fi and the laundromat.
You wouldn't go to Starbucks to get a vote in?
No. Star sucks, man. No way.
You don't have to buy anything.
Oh, yeah, they're going to let, no, and they charge you. They charge you $4 for 2 hours worth of Wi-Fi, whereas you can go to Quick Check. I can go do my laundry. My laundromat is Wi-Fi for free. McDonald's now are doing free Wi-Fi, but StarSucks, suck company that it is, does charge people for 2 hours at a clip for Wi-Fi. So no, I wouldn't go there to vote, and I caution you all against that as well. Has Dunkin' Donuts gone Wi-Fi?
No, not this.
Oh, you know what I saw? Speaking of Dunkin' Donuts, you know how there are, like, I've always kind of touted Dunkin' Donuts as the official coffee of the NJGHS because we have to calf up before we do the investigations. Years ago when I used to hang out at this really cool, very bohemian-esque kind of coffee shop, like when, you know, like Starbucks came out, and but this was like really a cool little place. It was called Sweet Dreams Cafe. It was in Madison, and it was like really dark and dimly lit, and kind of like when I tell you bohemian, very like a lot of your kind of your music freaks, people would show up. They had like throw cushions on the floor, they had couches, they had like bar stool tables and chairs. They had a whole game rack in the back where you could all board games, so you could pick any board game you wanted and take it to a table and play and hang out. And cool music was playing. They'd have live entertainment. People would bring in their guitars, and it was just like a hippie dude kind of place. It was really, I loved, and the coffee was good. It wasn't just all about show, it was good coffee. So I would go up there and hang out every so often. And they had these T-shirts that they printed up, Sweet Dreams Cafe, on the front. Mm-hmm. And on the back it said, "Friends, don't let friends drink Starbucks." Well, a couple weeks ago I'm in Dunkin' Donuts in Washington getting a cup of coffee on my way to school. And they have T-shirts hanging up. And it has the Dunkin' Donuts logo on the front. And it says, "Dunkin' Donuts, friends, don't let friends drink Starbucks." And I'm like, I said to the girl, I said, "When did you come out with that?" She said, "Oh, it was like a big promotion last, you know, for the holidays." Mm-hmm. "Last December." I said, "Oh my God, I wish I could track down Anthony, who was the owner of Sweet Dreams Cafe, and let him know that, because he's the one who coined that expression and had it put on his shirt, and now Dunkin' Donuts is using it." And I'm like, damn, this poor guy, he probably could have coughed in some...
Well, all he had to do was,
copyright it.
Copyright it, but...
Yeah. Yeah, so I was, you know, but I still have my original Sweet Dreams Cafe T-shirt, but, and I might buy that Dunkin' shirt, you know, it's pretty cool looking, but, you know. Anyway, I thought that was interesting, but, so that said, getting back to the whole rambling here, please vote for our show on podcastalley.com on April
1st. Please vote, or she'll keep rambling.
Yeah. And make sure you sign up for the NJGHS Yahoo group. The link is also on the homepage, along with the cemetery hunts and the meeting announcements on the homepage. And if you want membership and you don't want to send in a parish share and get it for free, you can PayPal $20 from the link on the homepage. And don't forget to be a friend of America's Haunted Road Trip. It is the MySpace of the paranormal. Go to www.americashauntedroadtrip.com, or you can click on the America's Haunted Road Trip link that we have on the NJGHS site as well on the homepage. You'll network with paranormal authors from the series of books, as well as other investigators and paranormal fans. Right, Brian?
You would be correct in that.
Okay. I think that's about it for this week, folks. So I'd like to thank Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of the Deadline.
Hail to the king, baby.
Our team leaders, Gregory, Sherry Irish, Dina Tirico, and Brian McCauley. And of course, thanks to all of you for listening and voting. For the deadline, keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.